Hey there, mama. You're listening to the Lift the Shame podcast. I'm your host, Crystal, mama of five and your family's intuitive eating dietitian, here to help you cut through the diet culture clutter so you can enjoy freedom with food as a family. I'm on a mission to help you end the generational legacy of diet culture in your home so you can experience motherhood free from food guilt and body shame. Listen in weekly for guidance on how you can ditch diet culture, heal your relationship with food in your body, and confidently raise intuitive eaters. Let's dive in and lift the shame together. Hey, mama, welcome back to the show. I'm so glad that you're here. I really appreciate you taking the time to tune in and listen to these conversations. So thank you so much for coming back. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been investigating the power of language, and more specifically, how the way we talk about food with our children can have an impact on their relationship with food and how they feel about their bodies. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the previous episodes, I hope you can go back. I talked about why we don't need to talk about food as being healthy versus unhealthy for our kids, and also ways that we can support their overall health that don't rely on using this rhetoric or binary terms such as good versus bad when it comes to food. So if you didn't get a chance, I hope you can go back and listen. Today, I wanted to just further this conversation because, again, this idea that we need to talk to our kids about nutrition or categorize food for them in order to steer how they eat is very rooted in diet culture. It comes from this belief that our children can't be trusted to eat. And a lot of us are trying to unlearn this harmful narrative for ourselves, because really our kids can be trusted to eat. And so often where nutrition information is interjected is when we feel uncomfortable with how our kids are eating, or perhaps we're hearing things from different people who are commenting about our kids' bodies or their appetites. And we want to just focus on the child in front of us and be able to form this connection and trust when it comes to food and how they're eating in order for them to internalize those beliefs for themselves. This is such a powerful way to shift out of these generational cycles of food guilt and body shame. And again, for so many of us who have struggled with this narrative or this belief that our bodies can't be trusted, being able to learn how to extend trust to your children and to refrain from having these conversations that so many of us grew up with, like, hey, this is really good for you, you should eat this, or this is bad for you, you shouldn't eat this, stop eating that. Today, it's a lot more subtle than that. And diet culture is very sneaky in that way. And we may not hear those stark narratives, but we often hear subtle rhetoric that categorizes food or uses nutrition information as a way to weaponize how our kids are eating. And we do know from research that prompting children to eat in a certain way via verbal cues, like, hey, why don't you try this? This is going to make you so strong, or this is going to make you healthy. That external rhetoric can actually be very damaging to our children's relationship with food because it essentially separates them from their intuitive eating abilities. And I explained a lot more of that in previous episodes, so definitely check it out if you're wanting to understand more of why we want to move away from this rhetoric when it comes to how we talk to kids about food. With all this in mind, I don't want you to feel like it's taboo to have any conversations with your kids about food whatsoever. That's definitely not what I'm trying to promote. We do want to talk to kids about food, and kids are naturally curious. And if you notice, you may find that your children are asking questions about food or curious about what they're eating, or may have just conversations come up about their bodies or how their bodies work and function. And these can be really amazing opportunities to center this embodied experience with our children that, hey, your body is amazing. Your body is such a gift, and we want them to explore it from a curious lens. And we do want also to think about how is this more child-led versus us inserting our own hidden agendas when we, you know, have these conversations with them. And so today I wanted to just focus more on how can you talk to your kids about food? What are some things to keep in mind if you are having conversations about food, whether it's something that your child is asking or something that you want to converse with them about? There are ways to have conversations with our kids about food that do not stem from diet culture motives or diet culture rhetoric. And that's what I want to focus on today. today. So I want to give you 5 points to think about when it comes to how to talk to kids about food. Because again, as a parent who is trying so hard to end this damaging idea that bodies can't be trusted or that food is good versus bad, I know that it can feel sometimes like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. And I want you to feel just empowered when it comes to having these conversations with kids, because this isn't something to fear. We don't want to resort to the diet culture rhetoric to talk to kids about food. But again, there's an opportunity to have these conversations that spark curiosity, that really can empower our kids to learn how to become the best experts of their own body. So let's dive in. First, tip number one is if and when you are talking about food, just use very neutral language. This is where we just want to think about ditching the categories or any binaries around food that are just unhelpful or that can create that hierarchy around food in our kids' mind. So the categories that I think we're used to hearing are things like healthy versus unhealthy, good versus bad. But there's also a lot of more subtle binaries that can still have that same effect in terms of creating a hierarchy around our kids' mind. So that can sound like something like real food versus processed food, or a big one that I hear a lot, especially on social media these days, are playing food versus growing food. So that might not be as direct as saying good versus bad, but by saying that kind of terminology, there is often a hidden agenda behind those terms that can move things in the wrong direction with when it comes to how our kids feel about food and their bodies. Those type of binary terms have the potential to create a hierarchy around food in our kids' minds, or just cause them to feel confusion around food or potential guilt and shame around eating certain foods that are not within the categories that they hear caregivers or people talking about food. My biggest point of recommendation here is to just call food by what it is. Avoid categories, really. Like when we can just say, this is an apple, this is a banana, this is a piece of bread, really. Like just call food by what it is. And that can help you avoid any type of category or lumping food into categories. A big example here is with sweets. So often a lot of us have grown up hearing things like sweets or desserts, or we hear sweet type of foods being called junk food, or that's unhealthy, or that's bad, or that's sometimes food. And again, those rhetorics can be so damaging to our kids as they're learning about food and learning about what feels best in their bodies. And instead of calling food like sweets, I like to just call sweets by what it is. Like, oh, we're having popsicles as a snack, or we're having gummy bears with dinner. Dropping the labels around food entirely can really help our kids be able to explore these foods from a neutral lens. And that's what we want to go for. And this can be a lot easier said than done. A lot of us just grew up hearing food talked about in these ways. And so it can be hard to learn how to talk about food in other more neutral categories. So just give yourself a lot of grace as you're trying to figure this out, as you're, again, essentially unlearning. We're unlearning what we have been taught food is. And it's so easy to categorize food, but when we can remove the categories, it really truly allows our kids that neutral environment to explore what feels good in their bodies and not assign morality or any type of meaning to that food. It's truly just, I'm eating this based on what feels best in my body and not based on a hierarchy that has been created around food because of the labels and the categories that we're used to hearing food being described in. My second tip here is to focus on the characteristics of food. I love this tip because it really helps us as parents pivot from using food information or food language from being something that is helping us control how our kids eat to something that is inviting curiosity to food. So it is not our job to get our kids to eat or to get them to eat in a certain way. And often that is why food language can be so dangerous, because we're often trying to steer the direction in which our kids are eating. And that is a form of control that is not respecting our child's autonomy. So focusing on providing the food and trusting them to eat and focusing on conversations that can invite that natural curiosity that our children have. And this can be really fun. I really love this because instead of talking about food in this diet culture lens, it's like, oh, what's good versus bad based on nutrition content, we want to think about How does food taste? How does it feel? How does it smell? And kids love these aspects of food, and it really does allow them to step into this embodied experience with eating when they're now understanding and looking at food based on what feels best for them. When we can look at food through this more curious lens, it also can create just more safety at mealtimes with our children. And I love too how when we look at the characteristics of food without an agenda of getting our kids to eat in a certain way, it also can just invite more of a playful approach to food as well, which I love. Kids learn through play. That is their main mode of learning. And we want to kind of infuse this playful element around food too. And that really does help them relax. It helps them explore. It can bring down anxiety or pressure around eating, which is great all around for all of us. So questions that you can ask your child in order to just spark curiosity can be things like, oh, how does this taste to you? How does this feel? What does this look like? One question that I love to ask my kids sometimes is, what's crunchy? Like, what is making that crunchy sound at this table? I hear something crunchy. And just, again, we're infusing this element of play, but also curiosity and helping them explore the many different characteristics of food, colors, textures, flavors. The key here, and the caveat is that our conversations that are sparking curiosity should not have a hidden agenda attached to them. And I often see that, again, sometimes these questions can be weaponized to try to get our kids to eat or to get them to try something that maybe they're not ready for. So we really want to be careful when we go down this route. Here's an example, though. Like, if my kids and I are having ice cream, something I might share just to invite and open the conversation is describing how it feels for me and then asking that open-ended question. So something like, ooh, this ice cream is so cool and refreshing on this hot day. It tastes so delicious. How does it taste to you? So conversation starters like this can just open curiosity and exploration around food. And it can also help our kids just connect to how food feels in their own bodies. How does it taste to them? What are they noticing? How does it feel? What is the texture, the temperature? And learning how to explore food from that neutral lens and also from that embodied eating experience. This can be something fun to try with your kids. But again, you just want to always check, what is my agenda here? What is my intention for having these conversations with them around food? And we always want to make sure that our hidden agenda is not steering or trying to redirect the way that they're eating. We want to help our kids know that we trust them to eat what they need. And when we are exploring food, coming from a place of curiosity versus us using nutrition information or characteristics of food to subtly try to control how they're eating or get them to try something that maybe they're not ready for. So keep that in mind. Tip number three here is kind of two in one, but it's exploring with our kids where food comes from and also different cultural practices and food traditions. So food, really, I think when we hyper-focus on the nutrition element of food or the health component of food, we really miss out on the broader piece that food actually serves in our lives. And food is such an important piece of celebration and connection. And we're never just eating for nutrition. Optimally, when we're eating for enjoyment and pleasure and connection, that has so many beautiful health benefits in our lives. And so we want to highlight that. And I think an amazing way that we can do that is look at different cultural practices with our kids, maybe different food traditions, talking about fond memories about food. So just as a story here, my dad and his side of the family are Middle Eastern. And so there was a lot of great food traditions growing up as a kid. And I loved being able to share some of those things with my own kids. And my grandma would make these really special cookies around Easter every year that had symbolic meaning. And being able to share things like that or stories or things that help our kids learn the bigger picture that food serves in our lives can be really expanding of their idea of food and the important role that it can have in their life. It also really does broaden the idea of health. And we want our kids to understand that there's no one right way to eat and that people all over the world eat in different ways, eat different foods, have different traditions and practices when it comes to eating. And I love inviting kids into that story so that they can can learn their own food story and that we can help them create a food story that is about celebration and connection and not just oversimplified to be just about healthy versus unhealthy. Healthy is such a broad context, and there's so many different ways that people achieve health in their life. And we want our kids to learn these things. And again, one way we can do that is just by helping them learn different traditions, different cultures about food, or even how food is grown or where it comes from. So many kids today, I feel like, don't really know or have exposure to that. And this can be a great way to expose them to different kinds of foods outside of what they're just seeing at our table. And there's different ways to do this. And this doesn't mean you have to grow a garden or something in your backyard, but just exposing our kids gradually over time to different things. And if gardening is your thing, kudos to you, mama. That is huge props. I have tried to garden so many times and it's just been an utter failure. So send me all your gardening tips. But just being able to, again, invite our children into a bigger picture about food. And there's many different ways that we can do this. We just want them to understand that there's no one right way to eat and there's no one right thing that we do to be healthy. That is, to me, the damage that we do when we try to tell our kids, like, you should eat this because it's healthy for you. There's so much more to health. There's so much more to food, and enjoyment and connection around food are one of the biggest pieces of why we eat. And this can be a huge piece that supports them learning about food in a way that's very neutral and life-giving and supportive of a positive relationship with food. Tip number four is not weaponizing nutrition information if it comes up and exploring that with our kids, again, in a neutral way. So I wanted to share this little story here with you. So when I was pregnant with my youngest, my oldest was about six, I think. And I had iron anemia in my pregnancy and so had to take an oral iron supplement over the course of my pregnancy. And I remember my oldest asking me about it as she was watching me take it and saying, "Mommy, what's that? What is that for?" And this was a perfect opportunity for me to just integrate some very basic nutrition concepts. But again, they can be so complex. We really want to be careful with how we're wording it and not using any type of nutrition information as a way to steer our kids and how they're eating. This is where we have to really check our agenda when we're talking about nutrition information, exploring it from a place of curiosity and how our bodies work and how they function, and not from a place of using this to try to control our children. So I remember saying something to her along the lines of, "Mommy needs to take this because sometimes our bodies just need a little extra help. And mommy is growing a baby right now. Isn't it amazing that mommy's body is doing this? Whoa, bodies are so cool. And mommy's body needs extra iron right now." And of course, she asked, as the curious child that she was, and I hoped that she would ask, "What is iron?" This is a, again, broader, harder concept to explain to a six-year-old. But we want to do so in our best attempt without any moralizing of this information. Just being matter of fact, I tried my best to explain to her that iron is a mineral that our bodies need, and it helps our blood carry oxygen from our lungs to the muscles in all our bodies so that we can have the energy that we need to move and to play. Something like that. I'm just paraphrasing what I tried to explain to her about iron. The key here was I wasn't saying, "Now iron is in spinach and in our meat, and so we really need to eat these foods to be strong or you're not going to have energy to play." That would be an example of weaponizing just basic nutrition information and concepts to try to steer how our kids eat. We don't want to use nutrition concepts to scare them or to make them think like something bad is going to happen to their body if they don't eat iron or protein or calcium or whatever it is, whatever nutrient that may come up in conversation. So I wanted to share that iron example because I know for many kids, iron anemia is more common than we think. And you may have a child that has to take an iron supplement and your child might be wondering, "What is this? Why do I have to take it?" And just really having matter-of-fact conversations about our body needs this nutrient. And sometimes our bodies need a little extra help getting what we need. We don't want to resort to scare tactics. And also we want to just emphasize that our bodies gets the nutrients that we need from a variety of different foods. This is my qualm with a lot of the nutrition information that I see out there for kids, is that, you know, it'll say, "Oh, carrots help your eyes," or things like that. And my problem with that is that it can really create some fear for our children, especially if you have kids that don't like the foods that you're trying to show them have certain nutrients, right? Like, what if you have a kid that doesn't like carrots? And I've actually seen this with families that I've worked with before, where a child was scared that something was going to happen to their bodies because they didn't like the foods that they learned had that nutrient. And that's just an example. And that's why we don't want to hyper focus on one food providing one nutrient, because the reality is that beta carotene, which is in carrots, which can help our eyesight, is in a variety of other foods. So we don't want to oversimplify it. And we want to emphasize our bodies need nutrients from many different foods. And it's so awesome that our body can get the nutrients that it needs from eating many different things. And we can trust and listen to our bodies to help us get the foods that we need. So I wanted to share that example and just emphasize that it's perfectly okay to have conversations with our kids about what different nutrients do in our bodies and how cool our bodies are. I know my kiddos have a couple books about their bodies and different systems in the bodies, the skeletal system, blood, heart, muscles. And I love that kids are just very curious and naturally wanting to learn how our bodies work and function. And this is where we can help explain how different nutrients help our bodies in different ways. But we don't want to use that again to try to get them to eat certain things that they're not ready for, or to use that as a scare tactic to get them to try to eat certain foods that we feel like maybe they're deficient in. We really want to just approach it from a neutral way, from a curious way, and from a place that really helps them explore food and explore their bodies and trust their bodies. And this leads me to our last tip here, which is emphasizing that our children can be trusted as the best expert of what they need. This is so key in our language and how we talk to children about food, because kids are not hearing this. And so often the rhetoric that they're hearing around food has that subtle message that they can't be trusted to eat. And so many of us are trying to undo that for ourselves, and we want to rewrite the script for our own children. So let your kids hear that from you. Let them hear the message that you want them to internalize and believe for themselves. And that is that you trust their bodies and they can trust their bodies. I know in different conversations, and kids will ask these questions too sometimes, like, is it okay if I'm eating this? Is this too much? Is this not enough? Like, sometimes they are already looking for that external guidance from us to help them decipher that for themselves. And there's a lot of nuance here. You know, sometimes kids do need extra support, but we want them to hear the underlying message that they can be trusted, that they can learn to listen to their bodies, that you trust them. And when we say those things, it really does help support them learn to navigate food in a neutral and a positive way. And I love having these phrases kind of in my back pocket, like telling my kids, like, I trust you to eat what you need, or I trust you to listen to your body. And that can be, it's not maybe necessarily directly talking about food, but we're highlighting and emphasizing that their bodies can help guide them. Their bodies can be trusted. And they may be in many different eating experiences where they're not sure how to eat or what to eat. And knowing that they can learn to listen to their body as the best guide. That is such a refreshing message, again, that we want our kids to internalize, and you are working towards that by rewriting the script. It's not about, oh, I don't know, you shouldn't eat so much of that, or you shouldn't eat so much of this based on external guidelines, but centering their body as the best expert. And this also just reiterates the fact that different bodies need different things. And our kids are seeing this and being exposed to this when we're eating together or when we're sharing a meal with them. We want our kids to know that there's no one right way to eat. And I think kids learn from a young age that they have to eat in a certain way in order to appease caregivers or to follow the rules. Or if you have a child that has more of a perfectionistic or people-pleasing type of temperament, it's easy for them to look for that external guidance. And this is where we really want our kids to start learning again that you can listen to your body, even if it looks different from what someone else is doing or from what I'm doing or from what your sibling is doing. There's no one right way to eat. And this can help our kids learn to trust that their bodies are the guide. Even if what they're doing looks different from their friends or from what other people are doing, this is really key and important for our kids. And this can be a great way to emphasize that in our conversations with them around food. So I hope these tips help you and just give you ways that you can navigate food conversations with your kids, because I don't want you to feel like I can't talk to my kids about food at all, because of all the damaging potential information that's out there. No, you can absolutely have conversations with your kids and start by examining what is your agenda. What is your agenda in bringing up a conversation around food with your child? And if there's any element of wanting to control how they're eating, that can be your litmus test of reevaluating that conversation. But if it's for just exploration, for curiosity, for connection, that can help you decipher the impact, the potential impact of those food conversations. As we close this episode out, I also just wanted to share one final thing, and that is that you do not have to force food conversations with your child at all. Sometimes for parents, as we're navigating undoing our own history of diet culture, and we're trying to create a new environment for our kids to learn about food and their bodies in a positive way, there can feel like pressure, like I need to do this or I need to do it right. And I just want to give you permission to not have to force anything that doesn't feel like it's coming natural to you. If you don't feel prepared to have food conversations with your child, that's okay. The best thing sometimes is just not talking about the food at all, especially if you're feeling worried about something that you might say or something that might come up. Mealtimes don't have to be about the food. And when we can make it about anything but the food, that can be a great platform and foundation for building connection and trust. Just connect with your child. Talk about your day. Talk about things that your child is interested in to facilitate that connection. It doesn't have to be food focused whatsoever. I wanted to make sure to emphasize this because if you are healing your relationship with food, or you yourself have a tumultuous relationship with food, there may still be elements about food that feel scary to you. And you don't have to force it if it's not coming naturally to you. And let it be child-led as well. I think often when these conversations are prompted by questions that our kids are asking, like if they're asking about a food or noticing the color or the texture of a food, you can use that as a platform to launch into conversations. And again, make it be about connection, make it about curiosity, allow your child space and permission to explore food regardless of how or what they're eating. That is what can reinforce this piece of trust and connection. It can be really beautiful and healing to also observe how our kids are naturally curious about food without a lens or binary hierarchies about good versus bad or healthy versus unhealthy. When we give our children the space to explore food in that way, it's really beautiful. And I have myself just found it so healing as I've observed that with my own kids and just seeing how they're truly capable of self-regulating what feels best in their bodies if we allow them to and if we trust them to. And moving away from control with food to connection and trust really does preserve those innate abilities that they have so they can explore what feels best in their bodies. And we are really just reinforcing this embodied experience with eating. You don't need external food rules or guidelines to steer what feels best for you. Your body can be trusted in various different eating experiences. And that is something that we can help our kids internalize in our language and the way that we approach food with them. So I hope this has been helpful for you. I would love to hear if you have any thoughts or questions. As always, you can always connect with me on Instagram at Crystal Cargis or via email. I love getting your emails and hearing any thoughts or questions or gardening tips you may have. So I'm over at hello@crystalcargis.com. We have some more great conversations coming down the queue. We'll be talking about parenting and feeding kids if you're in eating disorder recovery or healing from disordered eating. We also have our picky eating series on the horizon as well. So if you have questions around those topics that you'd like to make sure I include, definitely send them my way. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much again for being here, and I can't wait to see you again next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lift the Shame podcast. For more tips and guidance on your motherhood journey, come connect with me on Instagram at Crystal Cargis. Until next week, Mama, I'll be cheering you on. Bye for now.